This is the Scary Movie Clubcast.
Live from the clubhouse, it's Scary Movie Clubcast. This is Nadine.
And this is Amanda.
And tonight, we watched Five Nights at Freddy's. Right?
Yep.
Cool. I definitely, the whole time we were watching, far into the movie, I was like, yeah, nothing's going to happen until Friday, right? Because it's Friday at Freddy's. And Amanda was like, no. So this movie was pretty much about a brother and sister where, like, the parents are out of the picture, and so he has to take care of his little sister, and he gets a job as a security guard at what is essentially a ripoff of a Chuck E. Cheese that has been abandoned for quite a while and is no longer in use, but he's the nighttime security guard there, and there is creepy, creepy stuff going on with the animatronics. And Amanda's gonna give us some fun facts.
Yeah. Okay, and just to start, it is based on a game, which... Yes. A lot of people who are familiar with the franchise know about. Nadine's never seen the game really at all, right?
Not that I know of.
Okay. So to start, the game was created by a man named Scott Cawthon. He previously only primarily created Christian-oriented games.
Hard turn.
Yeah. The game before Five Nights was a family-friendly one called Chipper and Sons Lumber Co. Players said that the main character, a young beaver, looked like a creepy animatronic animal.
When you said beaver, it sounded like Bieber. I imagined a young Justin Bieber trying to cut one.
That would be so funny.
He was so scrawny.
And another reviewer called the game unintentionally terrifying. And
reminds me of Creep.
Yeah. So Scott was initially discouraged by the criticism, but decided to make the best out of a bad situation and came up with the Five Nights at Freddy's game.
Mm. Sometimes you don't set out to make horror. It's just in your blood.
Yeah. So the original game is like a point-and-click game. And basically, you're the night security guard. It's very similar to this movie.
Good.
So you're stuck in one spot. You sit in the security office, and you monitor these cameras and the vent system. And on either side of you, there's two doorways. And you can turn on lights in the hallways, but the doorways are also battery-powered doors where you can, like, press a button and the security door comes down, slams down. You only have so much battery power, so if you run out of it, you're screwed. So the animatronics, they come to life and, like, move around, and they get more active as the nights go on. You have to make it from 12 a.m. to 6 a.m. for five nights to win the game. And there's an interesting thing. There's a character that's become known as Phone Guy. He calls you every day at the beginning of the game and, like, kind of, like, explains what's going on and, like, how the animatronics move around and, like, tips to look out for and things like that. And it's kind of interesting, and I really liked that Matthew Lillard's character in this movie was, like, Phone Guy, like, he, like, called, because he's also another famous phone guy. He's Ghostface.
Very true.
Yeah. Okay, so there's, like, so much lore with the game as well. And so there's, like, 10 official games and 29 books / graphic novels to go along with this whole business.
Wow.
It's very convoluted. It's a tangled web. But the basic plot is, like, kids die / get murdered, animatronics come to life, more murder happens, and somewhere in there you learn more about the creators, and some of them are trying to bring their dead families back to life. Yeah, so I'm not going to go, like, really into too much of it because there's so much. Vanny Vanessa, she's a character from one of the later games that comes. Mike is the name of the original security guard.
Aw, nice.
Yeah. So there's, like, many theories. And as I point out to you during the movie, Matt Pat, a.k.a. the game theorist, he has a few channels where he theorizes about different things. He also has a movie theory channel. I consider him to be the expert because I watched Markiplier, the self-proclaimed king of Five Nights at Freddy's, because it's almost a rage game towards the end, because it gets really difficult. So, like, after he won, he was like, I'm the king of Five Nights! And, anyway, so Matt Pat, like, has gone into all the lore. He's read all the books and everything. And so I had originally watched his theory after I watched the playthrough. And I really liked his first theory. Obviously, null and void after the rest of the stuff comes out, because who knew the directions we were going to go in. But I'm going to tell you his original theory, because it's a true crime tie-in. So he originally theorized that the game could be based on the 1993 Aurora, Colorado shooting that happened at Chuck E. Cheese.
I would not want to live in Aurora, Colorado.
No.
Stuff be going down there.
Bad things happen in Colorado.
Yeah, they really do.
Anyway, back on topic. So the shooting was committed by a former employee who was upset about being fired. No children were hurt.
At least there's that.
Yeah, but...
especially at a place like that. Were there children present? Like, was it during, like, business hours?
I don't write down that much detail. And this... the game came out in 2014. And this is approximately when I watched the theory. So it's been a while. I did look a little bit more into it, but... for just for these notes, but
yeah.
Not that deep.
I know, because I like how you said you're saying it like as if
I'm just pulling this from memory. Fun facts for Before employees were shot and killed, and a fifth employee was seriously injured. And so MatPat theorizes that the suits were possessed or like represented the employees that died, because there's Bonnie, Foxy, Chica, Freddy, and then there's another one, Golden Freddy. So, Golden Freddy, he was the blonde kid in the movie.
Okay.
So there's those four, they can move around and stuff, but Golden Freddy's disassembled. And so he thought he represented maybe the injured one because he didn't die.
Okay.
Anyway, I always thought it was, like, a good theory and, like, would have been kind of, like, an interesting basis for, like, a game to take, but wrong. Okay, now we're moving on. Now that you get the basics of the game and a little bit of its history, I guess.
Well, are you saying that, like, that's what he thought that was the lore was, but then it turned out that later on the books came out and they were like, actually, it's about kids that got murdered.
Yeah, yeah. So it's about kids that get murdered. So, like, William Afton, the guy, you don't really know who it is in the first game, but he takes these kids from Freddy's and he kills them and he hides their bodies in the suits.
Yeah. Why don't you just watch like the in the same movie?
Yeah. And so it's basically, it's just that. And then there's, like, they talk about, like, how this, there's, like, little things that say, like, how the suits, like, kind of smell bad and stuff like that. And so, like, it's very much, like, the place is, just like in the movie, the place is abandoned. The security guard's just watching it at night.
So, like, did he make all his, also, is this YouTuber, is it the first one that we saw, like, the waiter?
Yes.
Okay. And did he make all his theories, like, after the first game, before anything else came out?
He did the first story after the first game.
Okay.
And then he's done theories subsequently after all the other ones. And after the books have come out and, like, trying to tie them all back in makes sense. But there's kind of, like, some of books are, like, have, like, a looser correlation to the games and...
Well, and who writes the books? Is it the same guy?
Yeah, like, the developer, so he co-writes them. Yeah.
Okay. So well, it's all, like, official.
So, like, he says that the books sort of, like, explore other parts of it and are not necessarily, like... 100% canon.
Oh, I hate that.
Yeah, it's like real loosey-goosey. Like, so that's why it's like a mess. Like, poor MatPat.
One, you're either in the universe or you're out.
Yeah.
You can't have it both ways.
But okay, now we're going back to more strictly movie stuff.
Okay.
So the animatronics in the movie are actually all puppets. No CGI, really. I don't know if there was zero CGI, but primarily it was puppets made at Jim Henson's Creature Shop.
I'm just shocked that there weren't people in them.
There were some that had people, but like the Foxy one, he's the one with the hook, the pirate one.
Yeah.
No suit. Yeah.
Wow.
They had a whole team of puppeteers and like some of the faces and stuff were like remote controlled.
Impressive.
Jim Henson, if they're on a project making monsters or puppets or anything, they're doing it right. And I was just like very impressed by the look of them. Like they look good. Yeah. So if you ever saw the characters walking... except for Foxy, because of his legs. There was a performer in there.
Okay. Which makes sense, because it did feel like Foxy seemed to move differently. So that makes sense.
This is a quote I saw from the director, Emma Tammy. She said, "I remember standing next to one of the puppeteers with the remote control in their hands, and the animatronic all of a sudden twitches its eye. I look at the puppeteer, and I was like, 'Did you do that?' And she said, 'No.' Laughs. It just needs to let us know it was alive."
It's cute.
So there was, like, a lot of talk about the movie before it was even released. So the game comes out in 2014. The movie gets announced 2015.
Oh.
Yeah.
These poor kids that have been waiting so long.
Yeah.
Dang. Man, I wonder how old the little girl was that played the little girl in this, because was she even alive? It's almost 10 years.
Yeah, yes, exactly. So there's like a bunch of different scripts. There was an original, one of the scripts was a ghost hunter version where basically a group of amateur ghost hunters break into Freddy's and like see the things happening, like ghosts, whatever. And then apparently there's another version of the script that was called Plushies Take Manhattan. Like I think like on a play on Jason Ghost like Takes Manhattan.
Mm-hmm. Muppets.
Scott said that one should be burned with fire.
I would assume.
And so as a consequence of like all these other failed scripts and things like that, there's a lot of Freddy wannabes.
Okay. I'm glad it entertains you.
It does. As you know, from True Blood, puns are the highest form of comedy. In 2020, apparently Scott Cawthon made a post on the official Five Nights at Freddy's subreddit where he revealed that multiple screenplays were being considered, which is probably why there's so many knockoffs. The most successful of those knockoffs is Willy's Wonderland 2021 film, starring Nicolas Cage.
Oh,
yeah.
Never even heard about
it. It's actually a very similar plot to the whole, like, Five Nights at Freddy's franchise. So it's basically Nick Cage, his car breaks down, he has no money to do the repairs. This guy's like, hey, if you clean this place, if you're the night janitor at this, like, closed down Chuck E. Cheese ripoff, I'll fix the car. And he's like, sure, whatever. And basically the animatronics come to life at night and try to kill him, and there's like a million animatronics in this place. And there's also kids that wind up in the restaurant for other reasons, and so Nick Cage has to, like, fight these things. Save the kids, I guess. I saw the movie, but it's been a while, so I can't remember. Also, I think they just needed deaths. And then there's another 2019 horror comedy, the Banana Splits movie, which is supposed to be based on Hanna-Barbera cartoon called The Banana Split Show, or The Banana Splits, but it's speculated to be the reworked version of the Five Night film Warner Brothers was going to make, because originally they had signed on for the project before Blumhouse. And then there's also The Hug in 2018. That one apparently is inspired by accidents that happened at a Chuck E. Cheese, and the FNAF games. It's a very popular acronym.
Yeah, I'm sure. That's why I caught on so quick.
My next category is Blum Bum Bum.
Cute.
Yeah. In an interview, Jason Blum revealed that the FNAF movie was his, like, top priority at Blum Productions. Oh. Probably because movies based on video games have a bad reputation for being bad.
Oh, I thought you were going to say probably because he knew it would bring in a crazy amount of money.
Well, yeah, but I mean, like I said.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe he saw the producers and he's like, you can make enough money with a flop. And then in 2021, Blum tweeted that the movie was still in production and said that he doesn't want to write a story that's going to disappoint Scott. Scott co-wrote the film.
Oh, okay. So Scott likes it.
Yeah, he likes it. Cool. I think good. He approves.
That's good.
Before the movie's release, Jason Blum also said that the movie's already made back its budget with the streaming and theatrical distribution rights.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good for them.
Originally in 2018, Christopher Columbus, he's the director of Gremlins.
Okay.
He was going to be the director, but
I feel like this guy should go by Chris. I mean, are you kidding me?
He should. That's by Chris Columbus. But he left the project in 2021, and Blum said, I don't have the right to do anything Scott doesn't like, in, like, a response to that. Hmm. And we're almost at the end. This is just the miscellaneous things. The song featured in the FNAF movie's teaser trailer, Talking in Your Sleep by The Romantics, which was originally released in 1983, which is a fun little thing for anyone who's fans of the game, because there's an incident in the games and the books, I think it's in the books, called The Bite of 83. There's a bunch of YouTubers in it, 8-Bit Ryan, Daz, people I don't know. I know two YouTubers, but three. PewDiePie, everyone knows him. Except for you.
Yeah, definitely not. YouTubers are not my thing.
Yeah, no. And this I feel like I should just disclose just because of what happened with the Jeepers Creepers episode. Ooh. It's not as bad as that, but it's not great. Scott Cawthon stepped away from the Five Nights at Freddy's franchise in 2021 due to a controversy surrounding public disclosure of his campaign donations to favor anti-LGBTQIA politicians.
Disgusting.
His response to the backlash was reading as saying as an apology, but it doesn't sound like an apology at all. It sounds more like a tantrum. I'd like to think that the last 7 years would have given me the benefit of the doubt in regards to how I try to treat people, Cawthon wrote. But there I was, trending on Twitter for being a homophobe. If I get canceled, then I get canceled. If people think I'm doing more harm than good now, then maybe it's better that I get canceled and retire. So he stepped away from the making of the games, but, like, obviously he was pretty heavily involved in this movie. And he's still, I think, pretty heavily involved in the books.
What a jerk.
Yeah.
It's ironic, too, because I feel like a lot of the people who, instead of giving, like, a real, genuine apology, say ridiculous stuff like that, it feels like those are the ones who then get to just go along and have people forget and make more money. Because it reminds me of Kevin Hart a lot, where, like, Kevin Hart was basically just like, I already said I'm sorry. And it's like, dude, you're a homophobe and sexist. Like, these things are problems. And you're, like, you need to keep apologizing for them and actually change. And the fact that you're not willing to apologize shows that you don't think anything needs to change.
I know, because that apology was not not an apology. Like I said.
Like, literally, it's not.
It was a tantrum. It was Pim being like, well, fine, I'll leave if you think I'm like that.
He's like, if all of society doesn't know me after these, know me personally after these 7 years, people are the worst.
But, like, yeah, because it's just really hard to hit because, like, a lot of these things, like, I don't know, like, young kids really grab onto these things. And so it's hard for the community as a whole, for him and a lot of people who have, like, who played the games and are, like, involved, like, MatPat have, like, spoken out about it. Like, they're like, we don't like what he did. Like, it was wrong that he did that and his apology was weak. You don't need to stop enjoying the things you enjoy. If, like, no blame should be on the people who, like, enjoy the stuff, and it's all on him. Kind of thing.
All right. So, Amanda, what were our favorite scares?
My favorite was, so that little figurine.
The cupcake?
No, not the cupcake.
Oh, yeah.
The little guy.
Okay, yes.
That's Balloon Boy.
Okay.
He shows up in one of the, like, the second or third game or something. All he says is, hi. And, which I think of every time I see the cats, because I say hi to them all the time in, like, a similar voice.
Cute.
But the second time he shows up for that jump scare, love that. That was my favorite.
That was cute. I would say that the time when the cupcake was, like, coming through the vent, that was actually kind of scary. And I was genuinely surprised because up until that point watching the movie, I was, like, surprised that it wasn't that bad, honestly. But I was thinking to myself, yeah. I was like, but this isn't going to be scary to me. Because, like, how people will say, like, not my kink. I was just like, not my scares. Like, this is not my fear. And so it's just not going to scare me. But no, I was a little pressed when that cupcake was coming through the vent. And then also, instantly, as soon as the bunny came in, I could instantly see that there was a person. Like, I could see into the mouse. Oh, so I could see that there was a human being in there. And I was like, oh, now we have gotten to my fears. Humans are my fears.
Yes.
And so that was,
they bet,
like, pretty scary. I was honestly surprised that there were any scares for me.
Yeah.
It's not bad. What were our favorite laughs? Sounds like your scare and your laugh could have been
interchangeable. They are the same. It was just so cute. It's just this little thing. He was so tiny.
My favorite laugh for sure was this creepy, horrifying pedophile standing over him being like, I killed your mother, now I get to kill you. That's symmetry, my friend. And I was like, what is happening? That was so crazy and funny.
That's probably why he got the job. Because they have this, he knew the last name. That's why when he was interviewing him, and he was like, Mike, he didn't say his last name.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
Yeah, and so I think he realized that he killed his brother. But
I'm surprised he even knew the last name of the kid.
Yeah,
that he
I thought as well, but these people who write these movies allegedly aren't murderers. So. They wouldn't know. Yeah, I know.
Did you have any other laughs?
Man, there were a bunch of times that I did laugh.
I did think it was funny, like, right in the beginning, too, when that first security guard who dies, but when he, like, is walking and then accidentally trips into something, and when it moves, he, like, screams because he scared himself, and I was like, oh, that would be me.
You saying scream reminds me when one of those bad guys is, like, he sees that one guy killed by the cupcake, and then he just runs screaming with his arms waving in the air.
Yes, that was so good. I did love that. Let's see, what were our least favorite parts?
I just wish Josh Hutcherson had more moments where he just got to be, like, weird and goofy, because I feel like that's when he's my favorite.
Oh, they were like, this is not the role for that.
He's serious in this.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't know. I watched this whole show, and it's, like, a weird show, and I don't know anyone else who's ever seen it. It's called Future Man, and he stars in it. It's weird. It's goofy. It's ridiculous. And it's perfect.
Yeah, I will say, like, right off the bat, as soon as he woke up in bed, I was like, oh, I wish they had cast someone hotter. just, like, for my own personal viewing pleasure. Especially because the bar was so low going in. Like, I genuinely was, like, vaguely annoyed to be paying to see this movie in theaters. Which, no, it was not that bad, honestly. I'm trying to think. I did wish that, like, certain things were a little bit more clear. Like, I was just very surprised when the animatronics could leave Freddy's.
Oh, mm-hmm.
So that was, like, kind of confusing, I thought. So, I don't know, just, like, certain thing, which, I mean, I guess it all basically worked out in the end. Like, not too plot hole-ish, but what was your favorite part?
I really just love the casting, personally, because, like, I love Josh Hutcherson. He's, like, there's, like, three, like, actors that I just really, like, love and would, be, like, love to be best friends with. And it's, like, Josh Hutcherson, Daniel Radcliffe, Elijah Wood. three short kings who I would just love to be besties with, because like just everything I see them in is like so good, like in interviews and stuff, like they just seem like really fun.
Are you gonna use Elijah and Daniel as stand-ins for each other?
Good. And then I love Matthew Lillard. I just think he's like so funny and weird, and like, yeah. I just love that. And then I love that Vanessa was played by the same actor who's Beck in You. Mm-hmm. I didn't really realize that. I'd like looked at the cast, but like didn't like put two and two together. What was your favorite part?
I think probably my favorite part was, I did really, really like the backstory going in. Like, I thought it was very mm-hmm. sweet that this brother was just trying so hard to correct this horrible thing that had happened in his mm-hmm. childhood. I did not know that Nebraska was known for its pine trees. I'm not convinced that that's a thing.
Me either. But
a friend from Nebraska, gonna ask them about it tonight.
Yeah, I need pics, because I'm pretty sure that place is just corn.
Yeah, exactly. So if he had lost him in a cornfield, fine.
Yeah, makes sense.
Exactly. Yeah, I really liked the idea of that. Because, I mean, oof. Like he said, like when he was defending the sleeping pills, I was like, yes, that would be so hard mm-hmm. to intentionally put yourself back in the worst moment of your life, mm-hmm. like every single night. What a sweet baby angel.
I know.
And also it's like, I mean, yes, what he did at the mall was obviously wrong. And like, he should have figured out what the situation was between yeah. that kid and that dad. Also though, people, adults who are out in public places with their children should not be so far away that then when you come back, it seems like you're a totally different person coming up to this child.
I know. The way he dragged the kid away was, I don't know, it was like,
sometimes you gotta drag it.
I know, but I feel like, I don't know. I don't have kids. Most parents usually are like, come on.
Yeah, and we'll talk to them at least for a second.
Yeah, instead of just pulling.
I will say, my personal opinion, though, just in a general sense, is that if you're out in a public place with children, then you should always be within reach. That's my personal opinion, is that I should be able to reach my hand out and put my hand on that child. Like, I tell the kids, like, my nieces and nephew that all the time. Like, if we're out somewhere and Lydia tries to, like, walk more than 3 feet away from me, I'm like, you're too far. Like, I need to be able to touch you if I needed to. Oh, plot quality.
Plot qual.
What did we think of the plot quality? I thought pretty good.
Yeah, not bad.
If anything, probably the only real critique that I have about the plot quality, other than, like, sometimes feeling like it was taking a million years to, like, mm-hmm. say what it was saying, which is partially because it's there for fans, and don't already mm-hmm. know all the backstory like they mm-hmm. do, mm-hmm. so that's a little different, which is just on me. Because I gotta say, we were in the theater with a ton of fans, and they seemed very happy.
Yes, definitely.
It was well received. But would be that if it's a 5-night thing, then I would think that there should be, like, marked enhancement, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. that didn't, you know. The 5 nights felt totally arbitrary as to what was going to happen on each night.
Yeah, no. Yeah, I agree. I definitely feel like the pacing wasn't good either, just in, like, terms of, like, a movie. Like, because there's some parts where it was, like, the end felt very rushed.
Oh, yeah.
And then, like, there are other parts where I was like, this could have been a little shorter, and then you could have, like, extended this anyway.
Another funny part. That lawyer.
The lawyer!
The lawyer was the bunny.
So weird.
He
awkward.
Didn't wanna.
He was like, I need to retire. Why? I should never have been a lawyer.
Yeah.
Oh, he was good.
But he barely said anything. Just his eyes.
They were his so face. Good. It was all
perfect.
The expression. What else did you? What else did you say?
Like that? I wanted the 5 nights.
To oh, be more yeah, pronounced. Yeah. I think that's like a good point to make, because it's like it's pretty much just only the title. And you're like, 5 Nights at Freddy's? If you're not familiar with the franchise, you're like, I don't remember how many nights there were, but I don't feel like it was 5. So that doesn't really make sense if you're not marking the time.
Yeah.
But I mean, they just did it for, like, the marketing and merchandising.
Well, I do think it was 5 nights, though. Because we were counting them as we went.
I wasn't counting them.
Oh. Well, I was, like, marking it off in my head because I figured that the 5th night would be the craziest night.
Yeah. You're right.
And so, I mean, it was, but it was not, like, clear. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's not like there was, like, marked elevation each night. Mostly because on what I guess would be the 2nd night, like, 4 people died. So it's yeah. hard to escalate from there.
I mean, technically that was the day.
I mean, I guess.
Yeah, but I was pretty... like, doing all the, like, fun facts. I was, like, also, like, looking at, like, reviews to see what it was. Because, like, this is a highly anticipated movie. Like, I was very excited for it because I watched the games. Because I don't play scary games. Too intense. I can't. The stress. I was excited about the casting, and then, so I was worried when I was, like, seeing the initial reviews, and they were, like, just decimating the movie.
Yeah.
And it's, like, the professional reviewers are the ones who are decimating it.
I'm telling you, the more that, like, the older I get, the more that I don't have respect for other people's opinions, because that movie was not that bad.
Yeah. See, I think they just expect too much from it, because it's, like, it's marketed towards children. People who, like, grew up with this, like, tend to be younger.
Yeah, they clearly went out of their way to keep it PG-13.
Yeah, they did.
Like, there was not nearly as much blood as there could have been. Yeah. There was only one, like, really gruesome kill, and it was when the girl got, like, bitten in half. Mm-hmm. That was good.
Yeah, and, like, that was, like, something that was also came up a lot in interviews with the director. They were like, oh, like, why did you do PG-13? Why didn't you, like... And she's like, no, this is what we wanted. We intentionally made it to be PG-13. We didn't want... Like, it's for kids, basically. Yeah. And then, like, another guy was, like, talking about how too, like, middle of the road, kind of. Like, it was, like, trying to be serious, but then also trying to gear towards children. And it wasn't, like, picking a direction kind of thing, in this person's opinion.
I disagree with them.
Yeah. So, I just saw a lot of negative things, but I did watch. Like, I was like, oh, gosh. Professional reviewers drive me crazy, because, like, most of the time they don't like horror, period. It's really, you have to be, like, really elevated horror to get a good review out of, like, a professional reviewer. Otherwise, you're just gonna get trashed. And so, like, I was, like, trying not to, like, take too much to heart what they were saying. And so I did make sure to watch one review from, like, a fan. And it was, like, some YouTuber I've never heard of. And he got invited to an early screening of it, and he went with his friends. And, like, some of his friends hadn't really been fans of the games. But he went, he, like, comes back after, he's, like, we all had an incredible time. Even people, even my friends who aren't familiar, were like, they liked it. And, like, he was like, it was the nostalgia for him, because he was, like, early 20s at best.
Yeah.
And so, like, he was a kid, like, watching these playthroughs, maybe even playing the game himself. So it was, like, nostalgia. It's definitely a movie made for the fans.
Yeah, because that's what I will say is, like, dude, those fans were having such a good time. Mm-hmm. Like, they were so happy. I mean, it practically got a standing ovation at the end.
It did.
And I enjoyed it. And yeah. I don't know anything about the games, really. So, like,
I know, I was
well done.
I was so nervous about your reaction going in.
I for sure thought I was going to hate it. Like, yeah. I was just very was prepared, like, that I was like, this is just a thing I have to do.
Yeah.
It is what it is. It'll be over soon. But it was not bad.
Yeah.
And what'd you, like, did you?
No, I liked it. I thought it was good. I mean, I would love it to have been R and been gorier, but I'm a grown woman. I'm not about this kid stuff.
Maybe with the sequel. We'll see what we see.
Maybe.
They made it maybe very clear, I think.
Oh, no way. This doesn't get a sequel. I mean, my mom would be blown.
No, because it did very well. Like,
yeah.
I know, these reviewers need to get over themselves.
I mean, especially Jason Blum being like, oh, we already made back the budget. So all of the rest of this money that people are getting in ticket sales, icing on the cake.
Yeah, it was just wild. Because, you know what was another funny part, too, though, real quick, was when the terrible aunt was, like, was talking to, like, the doctor and was like, you're the doctor and you're making me sound like I'm the crazy one. And it's like, yeah.
You are, ma'am.
That is what's happening. She was a nightmare.
She was.
Do you want me to rank first or you?
You go first.
So I will give this one 3.9 unattended children in movie theaters.
Wow.
I genuinely liked it.
Wow.
Like, I would watch it again.
I'm, like, real surprised.
I mean, didn't you think it was good?
Yeah, no, I did. I did.
Like, it really was. Like, I would watch it again.
I'm just really surprised. Like, wow. I need to rethink my whole life. Who am I?
No, you don't know me, Amanda.
I know.
No one knows me. I'm an enigma. I think that all the time. It's like with my cute new hoodie that's about Adam's Family Values and no one gets it. And I'm like, no one understands me.
I get it.
Yeah. Haven't gotten one single unforced compliment on it. It was so expensive.
Look, sometimes you got to do things for you.
Yeah.
I just do things for me all the time.
Oh, yeah, same.
Peppy does.
Yeah, I know. Peppy clearly missed me. I'm getting all the snuggles.
Mm-hmm.
All right, what you gonna rank it?
This is crazy. I'm gonna give it a 3.5 unaccompanied children in theaters.
Okay. Did the unaccompanied children in the theater partially ruin the experience for you?
Then the fact that my hamburger had a cheese on it.
But they brought you a new one.
I know.
But that
but 5 minutes that you had to wait.
Because I ordered it in advance.
And you had to pay the delivery
fee. Pay top dollar.
Yeah.
Sometimes it is hard when we have to rank, like, right then. Because, yeah, it's like when I think of, like, my us ranking, I think forever how it's too high, I think. Because, like, I did enjoy certain aspects of the movie. Mm-hmm. But it really was too rushed. And so I'm like, man, I can never go back and, like, take back that rank. But, I mean, it's different now that I've had time to think about it.
Yeah, you're like, everything's different now.
Yeah.
Perspective.
Mm. Okay. Guys, you can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And subscribe to our channel on YouTube. See you guys next movie night. And
today is Halloween!
Woo!
Bye forever.
Bye forever.
What?
We'll see what we see.
Maybe. Okay. Maybe I'll come back.
Subscribe. Also, thank goodness we went out of our way to turn the fan upstairs off so that your laptop could be like, I got you.
I'm like, it's hot here.
It's like, it was cool, but you turned the fan off. Don't worry, I brought my own.
I always do.
You can tell it's picking up on the mic, too.
Yeah, just like right there.
Joy.
Just the littlest bit.
That's what we do for you guys. Just quality on quality on quality.
That's what we're known for.
Yeah. That's how you know that we're recording this episode days before it goes out. It's the biggest in the world.
I'd be doing big ums, okay?
I wish
Josh
Pepper.
That was it. The grumbly guy. And then I drag him, the way he dragged him away. Just random children everywhere.
And they were bold. They had stuff to say. This was not a quiet viewing experience.
No. Chatty Cathy's.
Dahmer.
Would be horrified.
Oh. Dahmer.
Be horrified.
Dahmer. Would have been shushing everybody. Actually, Dahmer only shushes when it's us. Dang you, Dahmer.
Curse you.